Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
Good evening, this is Rhea Goodman, and you're listening to Living Juicy, now in its 17th year. Living Juicy restores the world by visiting with creative people whose innovative journeys open new pathways to conscious living and life's second act. Please go to my website, livingjuicy.org, for more juicy interviews. Living Juicy is a cultural enzyme, a catalyst for transformative change. Living Juicy is culture medicine. There are many ways of coming home to ourselves. Yoga, meditation, Qigong and Tai Chi, and dozens more. When we recognize and acknowledge that we are the center of our reality and that we see our story from only our perspective, we can live more consciously by changing the way we think and the way we speak. Language can be used to raise or lower our consciousness. I just returned from doing a retreat called Live Conscious with a group of 20 people in a beautiful place in Mexico called Playa Viva. Jake and Hannah Eagle, who founded and co-lead Live Conscious, suggest that when we consciously use our language, which shapes the meaning of our experience, we live from the inside out. And when we do this in a group, silently witnessed by others, our experience of taking full responsibility for shaping our lives is validated exponentially. Hannah Eagle has been a classical homeopath for 20 years with a private practice in Santa Fe. She now works with her husband, Jake Eagle, teaching courses and retreats called Live Conscious. Jake Eagle has been a licensed psychotherapist for the past 25 years, but he now refers to what he does as conscious mentoring. In 2010, he wrote an award-winning book called Rewrite Your Life. Currently, Jake and Hannah teach their Live Conscious retreats and courses to people around the world in New Mexico, Mexico, Hawaii, and Japan. Here tonight on Living Juicy to talk about conscious language are Jake and Hannah Eagle. Welcome, Hannah.
Oh, thank you for having us, Rhea.
You bet. Welcome, Jake.
Nice to see you again.
So, tell me, guys, how did you come up with this? How did this come to pass?
Well, originally, I guess it was a little over 15 years ago, we met an elderly couple. Their names were John and Joyce Weir. And at the time, they were 85 years old. And a client of mine had been to several of their retreats or workshops, and he said to me, you have to meet these people. He said, you just have to see what they're doing. So I hooked up with John, called him, and he came to Santa Fe, and we spent some time with them and had just a fantastic connection. They'd been doing this work at that time for 40 years, and they were looking for people who would carry it forward. And we studied with them for 6 years. We spent a lot of time together, and then we ended up taking the work on and becoming stewards of what they had originally created. And we've developed it further in the last 15 years.
Mm. John was he was the head of the psychology department at Caltech, and uh-huh. Joyce was a dancer. Huh. So John developed this way of perceiving the world and this philosophy, and Joyce helped integrate it into the body with movement.
Mm. Oh, nice, which is what you two do.
Yes.
You do exactly that. You help integrate it into the body with movement.
Right.
And yeah. So one of the unique and creative aspects of this retreat, of course, was that request that I received a day or so before the retreat, asking me to choose another name for myself from deep inside that I wish to be called. And as it happened, just a few days before, my daughter had mentioned to me that she told me something that someone had said about me, and I said, really? Gee, oh. And she said, Mom, you don't own your gifts. And so I decided to call myself Own Your Gifts. Why did you create that?
So the naming, we ask people to come and use pseudonyms. The naming is doing many things for people. One, it provides them with anonymity. So they don't come and they don't tell their back home name. They don't tell their story in terms of what they've been doing and where they live and what work they do. Because as soon as people start to do that, A, they put themselves in these little boxes, and they don't give themselves the freedom to explore. And we call our retreats labs, from the word laboratory. It's a place to come and explore. And so when people take a pseudonym, it's a way to explore themselves, to look deeply at something within yourself, Like in your case, you came and you wanted to explore what are the gifts that you maybe hadn't been owning previously. And I remember you and I were walking on the path one day, and I said to you, I want to hear what your gifts are, right?
Yeah. It was a really incredible thing, because bypassing the story, of course, is a really big part of it also. We all have stories, and our names are somehow connected to our stories, really. And so that was a very refreshing way to instantly start working on what have I not been working on
before. That's right. And during the week, people begin to find other parts of themselves or other things they want to work on. And they might change their name. They may change their name two or three times a day.
I noticed.
But it's a process of discovery.
It is.
And an acknowledgement of that.
And you did that. You went through that process.
Absolutely.
Right? So you started off as Own Your Gifts, and then you changed your name to You Go Girl.
Right.
Which I loved.
Because as soon as I started hearing myself, you know, pass the salt on your gifts, you know, kind of at the table. I really began to own them and to start thinking about them and recognizing them. And then I just wanted to be kind of pushed into movement and action. And that's mm-hmm. why You Go Girl was so right for me mm-hmm. until I changed it again. But we'll get there.
Okay.
One of the other intriguing things you mentioned was something you called Barbarians in the Basement. A powerful exercise in owning all of our stuff. So it's very Taoist. I'm familiar with the idea of owning everything from Taoism and somewhat from Byron Katie as well. But you guys do it in a unique way. Talk about Barbarians in the Basement, would you?
Yeah, so the idea, as far as I know, originally came from Ken Wilber, the philosopher. He's the one who wrote about this in one of his books. And what he's saying is that early in life, we start to be told that there are aspects of ourselves that are not okay. And so we hide them. And then as we grow up, we become self-critical and judgmental about certain things, beliefs, behaviors, habits we have. And we repress them. We push them down. We put them down into the basement. And two interesting things about that. One is every time I take some aspect of myself and I push it down into the basement, it takes some energy away from me. I'm depriving myself of part of myself. So I deplete my energy. And then I use my defenses to hold that part at bay, and that takes more energy. Mm. So over time, what happens is I'm exhausting myself by keeping parts of me hidden and in the basement. What we're trying to do is help people get to a place where they're comfortable opening the basement door, and we give them tools. I call them bright flashlights, so that they can go down in the basement, shine your light around, find those aspects of yourself, and bring them out into the light. And coming back to the naming, I think it's exactly what you did as you changed your name at the end of the lab.
Right, which I'm willing to acknowledge, because as soon as I heard about that in the basement, I went, oh, come on, You Go Girl is cute and adorable, but come on, get to work. What about those fears that come out every now and again? And so I changed my name to Fearful.
Right.
And I would have, if I had thought a little more about it, changed it to Own Your Fears.
Yeah, I thought Fearful was very potent for you. That's the way I observed. And what I believe happens is not only did you connect with that part of yourself, but you then revealed that in a group of 20 people, most of whom you didn't know a few days earlier.
Right.
And so that demonstrates a very deep level of self-acceptance. And that's one of the things that this work fosters, is a level of self-acceptance and hopefully self-love that I think is hard to get to in most other forms of work.
Unless you own all the parts of yourself.
Right.
That you have. I think it's the phrase, what we resist persists.
Yes, right.
Same thing. I mean, I realized that the fears could run me if I did not acknowledge them.
That's right.
They were a pain in the ass. They just kept getting in the way, you know. And who wants that?
Yeah.
So that was a very valuable part of it. We talked a little about that there were three tools. There were probably more than that for conscious language. The first of which is remove blame and praise. So, of course, we know about blame and how that sucks. We are faced with a blamer in chief, which we knew from the outset he would become, mm-hmm. blaming everything outside of himself.
Right.
We understand that, but why the praise? Why do we remove praise?
Well, when I experience another person praising me, generally I feel pretty good. And what happens is that indicates that the other person is regulating my nervous system. So if they're making me feel good, they can also withhold that praise. They can take it away. And I really don't want other people having that kind of control over my nervous system. So what we're doing with the language, conscious language, is eliminating both praise and blame. And it's part of what helps people get to that deeper level of self-acceptance that we talked about. I mean, if you think about the week, the entire time you were there, I believe this is accurate, that nobody told you anything about you.
And no, that's true.
That's an extraordinary experience to go for a week and not have people tell us about us.
Uh-huh.
This is a great tool for children, too, to raise children this way. They end up not getting their sense of themselves from someone else.
From outside, yeah. I mean, I think the whole result for me, or one of the many results for me of that week, was that I felt I empowered myself.
Exactly.
I empowered myself and felt more full up with myself. Not needing affirmation from outside, not needing recognition from outside. I empowered myself hugely from it.
Yeah, and you look 20 years younger.
Not a bad thing at all. So one of the other tools was stay present in the now, the importance of that.
Yeah, we talk about that as returning to now. And the idea there, this has been extraordinary for Hannah and myself. We've been married for 25 years, and we started using this about 15 years ago. So we had 10 years of being together where we didn't know these tools. And we had a pretty good, healthy relationship, but we didn't know about this secret. And the secret is we wasted so much time arguing about who said what previously or who did what or what happened, which is all largely just one's perception. And we would argue and fight about this until we adopted this idea of return to now. And what that means is, let's talk about what's happening right now in this moment. In other words, how are you feeling right now? Or what do you need from me right now in this moment? Mm-hmm. I can't go back and change what I did 5 minutes ago. But if there's something I can do to make things better in this moment, tell me what that is. And the chances are very good I can do that.
Mm. And conscious language actually is spoken in present tense, so that immediately brings you back to the present. And we all know how important it is to be present. Our suffering comes from being too much in the past or the future, from our thoughts about past and future. So
you said something, Jake. I don't know if you said it this time or in the book that you wrote. Also about an emotion takes a minute, lasts a minute.
Yeah, emotion has a chemical life of about 60 to 90 seconds, right?
And then?
And then it would dissipate. It would go away.
Unless we add thoughts.
Right, unless we go back to original thought.
Yeah.
Right.
And the thoughts are about something that happened in the past or something we're anxious about in the future.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea, another aspect of learning conscious language is that to use a language in a new way, I have to slow myself down. It's as if I pause. And in that pause, I have enormous freedom and choice. I'm not just reacting. I'm not on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we talk about it as conscious language. We're inviting people to be much more thoughtful.
So for me, it would be pause and breathe.
Yes.
Because if we take a breath, pause and take a breath, we may have a whole new insight of another choice to make in that moment.
That's right.
We're able to respond instead of react.
Yeah, yeah. Nice distinction. Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course. So it brings us to the whole concept of verbing. And this is a big part of conscious language. It's taking us almost half of a program to get to verbing, but it's a big deal. And I want to share a distinction that happened as soon as I came home. I was extremely anxious and happy to share with Nina, my daughter, particularly what had transpired. And I emailed her, when can we meet? And she said, oh, drat, my Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are all busy with lunches. And we got off the phone, and I thought, oh, disappointed. Oh. And ordinarily, I would have said, you disappointed me by not having time for me. And because of conscious language, I realized she didn't disappoint me. She did her thing. She did her life. I disappointed myself. And so I wrote to her, I disappointed myself by not being able to share quickly what was going on. And I felt so good just saying it that way.
Yes. Yeah.
So talk about...
Remarkably different. There are many aspects of this, but when... So you could have said, you disappointed me, in which case there's some blame.
Blame.
And the chances are good that Nina, she's like most people, would tend to get a little defensive.
Sure.
Right? You could have said, I am disappointed, which is a very passive voice. It's as if that's my state of being and there's nothing I can do about it. Or you could use conscious language and say, I disappoint myself. And the idea there is that I am doing this to myself. And if I'm doing this to myself, I may have a choice in that I can do something else as well. Now, when we use language like this all the time, what happens is we continually wake ourselves up and we remind ourselves of the most important aspect of this work, which is that nothing that happens has any meaning other than the meaning I give it.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
And so when I use language in this active voice where I'm verbing and I can say things like I frustrate myself or I disappoint myself or I delight myself, I thrill myself, I'm recognizing that I am making meaning, that I'm the creator of my own experiences.
So that's huge. It's huge. And so I found myself making a list of perfectly acceptable, I appreciate myself, I scare myself, I challenge myself, I center myself, I blame myself, I regret myself, I do myself. I dismiss myself, I inspire myself, I trigger myself, I abandon myself, I enjoy myself, I surprise myself, I validate myself. Anyway, the list goes on and on. It's very easy to make this kind of, to make a list of what's natural to say and own it. And not to put it on someone. It's huge. It's the biggest part of conscious language. Verbing.
Yes.
Who knew?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd add to the list, at the end of it, I might put, I love myself.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Biggie.
Now, one of the distinctions in this work goes back to no praise and no blame, is not only is it valuable to say I love myself, but it's equally valuable to say I disappoint myself or
right.
I embarrass myself.
Yeah.
And I can only do that if I've really eliminated the blame aspect.
Even from myself.
There is no blame.
Myself. Yeah, yeah.
I am simply doing myself in the way that I'm doing right now, and I have choice in terms of whether I want to continue the way I am or whether I want to change something about the way I am doing myself.
So here's another thing. I am loving this phrase, I'm doing myself. It's really so juicy. It's so self-empowering. How do you do yourself? Well, how did you do yourself today? Oh, I did pretty well. I did all the things I like to do in the morning.
And when we use that expression, it brings us back to a concept that I wrote about this morning, which is the main thing that determines how I feel at any point in time is how I conduct myself. It's how I treat other people, how I go through the world, all of which comes down to how do I do myself.
Really?
Right?
And then another aspect of conscious language is the redo.
Uh-huh. The redo.
So if I don't like how I've done myself, the quicker I redo myself and go back and say myself in a different way, the better I feel about myself.
It's true, because karma happens over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Things, the longer you wait, the more karmic in a way they are, for whatever that's worth. But now that we're talking about doing ourselves, we're going to take a very quick 1 minute break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Helga Ancona. Every Friday morning from 9 to 12, I host Jazz Etc., bringing you jazz and world music and an hour of Brazilian music. Music brings us all together, and I love sharing it. So tune in on Friday mornings for Jazz Etc. here on KSFR.
There's a World of Diversity on KSFR.
Tune in to Soul Notes with Aija, Friday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. here on KSFR, playing a unique mix of music including R&B, jazz, hip-hop, salsa, and more. That's Soul Notes, Friday nights on KSFR 101.1 FM.
It's a World of Diversity on KSFR.
And we're back on Living Juicy. We're talking with Jake and Hannah Eagle, who do have a website called liveconscious.com. And I've just completed a rather remarkable 8-day journey with them in Mexico. And we're talking about conscious language. So we've gone through verbing, and I'm wondering if there was a part of the workbook which you guys wrote, and there was a particular paragraph that had so much value in it. Could you read it, Hannah?
Yes, I will. By acknowledging our subjectivity, we step out of a position of omniscience and the need to be right. We can then relax into curiosity at the uniqueness of our own perceptions and the diversity of others' perceptions. Instead of telling others who they are or the way the world is, we use conscious language to make it clear that what we're expressing is only our perception. This creates a more nurturing and generative way to communicate, fostering intimacy instead of conflict. The other person is free to behave differently when they no longer feel bound by fixed descriptions of who they are, and we free ourselves to reconsider the meaning of our own perceptions and interpretations.
Powerful. Powerful. I mean, it's true. I think in times of anger, any two people who have an issue between them will start with, you did this to me. You did this.
The blame.
And the blame. And it's killing. I mean, it's bound to arouse defenses and not go anywhere. So really, there's something about taking full responsibility for who you are that is hugely empowering. And one of the big ways is getting to the barbarians in the basement, I'm
That's
convinced.
Right.
Want to talk more about that, Jake? Yeah.
Well, I just want to say that, do you remember my name at the lab? I named myself Audacious.
Yeah, I love right? that. Yeah.
And so I want to be audacious for a minute and talk about the fact that this work is not just about my own personal growth. That's a big part of it. I want to grow. I want to develop myself. But there's a reason why I want to do that and why I want people who come to the labs to do that. I want all of us to go out in the world and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I want us to do something. So one of the things that we can do with this work is we can go out in the world and each of us can be a sanctuary. Each of us can be a safe place or a safe person for other people. That's, to me, one of the most powerful ways to use this work, particularly in these times where there's a lot of anxiety. People are making themselves very anxious. Another thing that we can do is we can be an activist for enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
We can go out and encourage other people to find ways to enlighten themselves. Enlighten also is a verb. I enlighten myself. It's not a static state.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's a big part of the work. It's part of why I was so excited to see you at the lab, because I see you take what you learn, which is a lot in your lifetime, and go and share it and take it out into the world and be a model. That's what we're really wanting people to do with this work.
You know, part of the redo that we talked about, that happened like 2 days after I returned. I had a medical thing to do at St. Vincent's. I went there. I hadn't had any water since overnight. I angrily sat down next to a man, pushed a chair aside with a lot of attitude, and suddenly recognized that I had put something negative into the world that I didn't want. And I did a very quick redo. I went over to the man and I said, I did that. I had, you know, no justification, but that was really rude, and I hope you'll accept my apologies. And he said, no apologies are needed. And I walked away and I heard him say to his partner, see, there are really kind people in the world. I mean, it was an immediate recognition of you can redo. You can look at what you've put out, and if that's not what you want to put, if that's not your light, you can redo very quickly.
Yeah, now, part of that is also, my perception is the elegance in the way you did that is that you didn't explain or justify.
Right.
And as soon as I do that, it changes the nature of the experience.
Interesting,
right?
Isn't it?
So you just took responsibility. You said, I just did this behavior, and I don't feel good about it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. See, that's a quick redo,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, it is.
Well, one of the, again, a very juicy part of this retreat is that both of you are so actively a part of it, copping to your own stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about jealous?
Sure.
I love that example.
One of many of these labs, we call them labs because they're laboratories where we discover ourselves. One of these long ago labs, I had had a kind of continuous problem with jealousy. And an incident came up during the lab where I set myself off. My jealous was right up into my face. And I went away and acknowledged myself and came back and named myself jealous. And that was actually the most powerful name I've ever had.
Mm.
Having done that without trying to later hide this, because here I was a retreat leader and feeling jealous and not wanting to own myself, doing that truly transformed my jealousy. I've not had that kind of negative experience since.
It's been tremendous.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, the two of you owning your stuff, really, as all of us do, is a very powerful inspiration. I inspired myself hearing that story, that just by naming that quality, which nobody wants to have, but everyone has. Everyone has that.
Yeah.
That owning that was just huge. I tell that story a lot.
It takes the bite out of whatever you're dealing with.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you tell my half of the story?
Go for it.
Well, my half of the story was acknowledging that it's because of my own immature behavior that Hannah would get jealous.
Huh.
And so a lot of what we were doing is we were in a power struggle because I was behaving immaturely, and then she would get jealous and angry and blame me, and I would say, well, I'm really not a bad guy, and these behaviors are okay.
Uh-huh.
But they really weren't acceptable to her. And only when she took responsibility that she wanted to own the fact that she was jealous did I feel I was no longer being pressured to change.
Mm.
And then it was a choice I made to change because I love you and care about you and didn't want you to go through that kind of angst.
Right.
So it was something that we each took responsibility for our half.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I like that. I love your use of the word pressure, because when there is a pressure to change, we go the other way.
That's right.
And we absolutely move in the other direction. And when you just do your share and don't ask for more than that, that works.
Mm-hmm.
That's a click.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some more retreats, some more labs,
I hope. Yeah, we'll be doing a fall program in New Mexico, and then we'll be doing another winter program in Mexico, and then next year we'll probably be introducing a program in Hawaii, and the dates will be listed on our website, on the bottom of the website.
Which is liveconscious.com.
Liveconscious.com. Right.
Anything more you want to say?
How much time do we have?
We have under a minute, actually.
I just want to go back to the thing you said about pressure, and I want to point out that pressure is something that comes when we go through life and try to use force.
Okay.
And one of the ideas I introduced at the lab was instead of using force, we want to use presence.
Ooh.
It's a very different way of going through the world.
Nice, nice. I'm not sure there's time anymore to ask you about what's living juicy, but it's been for you, what's living juicy? A word or two? Whatever comes out?
For me, living juicy is doing more labs.
Okay.
For me, too.
Okay.
And hanging out with you.
Yeah. Yeah, very juicy.
Oh, lovely. It's been a great pleasure having you both, Jake and Hannah Eagle. Listen up next week. We'll likely have somebody almost equally juicy. Good night, folks. Thanks for listening.
So you've just bought a new car, or are about to, and trading in the car you've been driving is optional. Consider donating that vehicle that has served your transportation needs so well. It can now provide for the financial needs of KSFR, our public radio station for Northern New Mexico and the world. Your used car can help us reach our goals. Call us during regular business hours at 428-1527.
This is KSFR, White Rock, Santa Fe.
This news is underwritten in part by Cafe Fina, serving modern comfort food and now open for dinner Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 5:30. Located in the old Fina station at 624 Old Las Vegas Highway near the El Dorado exit off I-25, Cafe Fina is open for brunch and pastries daily. Cafe Fina is very proud to support KSFR.